It's wonderful for all of us to gather and to share in this gift of God's new life, Easter morning, but yet to kind of connect and think about what happened on Good Friday at the very end when Jesus was on the cross. Before he took his final breaths, he said a few words, "It is finished." However, we're mindful that something awesome and wonderfully true has happened. Death is finished, but not new life in Jesus Christ, which abounds. That's the glorious news we share today. It is finished. Sometimes, I think in the English language, we might have a different saying. Sometimes we say, "I am done." Sometimes a child who maybe is instructed to clean her room goes in and does some tasks and then comes back and says, "I'm done." But maybe her mother might come for a little inspection and realize there's still a couple things out of place and invites her to complete the process. And so she does. And then it is done. Maybe as an adult who works for several months on a project with a few other coworkers, reach that final product and they say, "I'm done." And then their boss or supervisor reviews and offers just a couple other little simple little tweaks. And then they can say, "It is done." When we think about this gift and this mystery of Easter, Jesus rising from the dead, it is the oldest Christian holiday. It's the hallmark of Christian feasts. It is a mystery we celebrate today and for the next 50 days, being mindful that God isn't finished renewing us and bestowing upon us new life. And we think about the scripture readings that invite us to think about this mystery. The first reading, though, reminds us of maybe a couple things that are important. Peter being the advocate, the sole voice at the beginning, reminding people that we're called to be witnesses of this great mystery of Jesus who has died and come back to life. A witness is just not someone who maybe sees, but someone who might share or articulate something that has been experienced. It's a deeper level of maybe comprehension and awareness. And that's really what I think Jesus would want us to do as we think about these scriptures. And as Peter then encouraged his brethren, and then as the church began to grow and expand, that this concept of being a witness connects to us being disciples who live our faith. St. Bede, the Venerable, said, "Faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ never misleads us. And in our own resurrection, he never deceives us. Because God the Father restored our life and our Lord Jesus to life and will restore us and our life by the virtue of power." As we think about how this divine power sometimes can help us, enable us to be witnesses, to truly say, "I believe and I want to follow." Secondly, in the reading of St. Paul, he reminds us maybe of also another description of what it means to be a witness and a disciple, that he calls us to be really optimists. Huh? He says, "We are to seek what is above, where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Think what is above, not what is solely on earth." And so it really causes us to maybe expand our own mindset and perspective of saying living faith really is about working and sometimes expanding and working at restoring relationships that reveal the mercy of God, his patience, his acceptance, his forgiveness, all these things that Jesus really accomplished and modeled on the cross, and then offers these gifts to us even now as we celebrate his new life. During this Easter season, we are truly given the chance to remember who we are and to act as our best selves. When we do this, then we express our identity as disciples, as people of life, as people of hope, and not people of death. Lastly, we think about the gospel today, and it says early in the morning, and obviously the sun is out for us, but to think of coming early in the morning when it's dark and coming to a place and thinking you see what you thought you saw. And to think of Mary and the other Mary who come to the tomb a little bit confused, overcome maybe with defeat and grief due to Jesus' death. And they're shocked through the darkness and fear and the concern. And then they notice the huge stone not near the tomb. It was not a problem, for we learn that God always has a magnificent plan. He allowed the risen Lord to always go before us in life, death, and by the glory of his resurrection. He continues to guide us even now on the path towards salvation. That's also part of the good news of the risen Lord. The risen Lord with divine power helps us then overcome victory and share in that victory over sin and death. The Master of Life is truly capable of transforming darkness and doubt into light, into something that is good. And then to think that he, as the risen Lord, empowers believers with new courage and hope and faith and love because God's Son has truly arisen. One of the questions I want to end with, or I want you to ponder, is last night in the gospel, it was a different gospel if you came to the Easter vigil, but twice in the story, as the disciples began to hear the news that it was an angel that first came to some of the first disciples and reminded them that you are to go out and to seek and to try to strive for always finding Jesus, but always on the path to Galilee. And then even Jesus sometimes met certain disciples and said, "Go to Galilee and be prepared for me." It's another place where we can meet and discover this greatness of Jesus, God's Son, the risen one. And so for us, even as we pray today and celebrate, it's also maybe a challenge for us to think about how does Christ in our own life now want us to find our own Galilee? It's maybe not here just in this church, but maybe it's at home or in your workplace or on the street or in the supermarket. How you might not only encounter others, but through them and through your expression of maybe Christ's compassion, kindness, or understanding, that sooner or later you discover this gift of peace, this gift of strength, and that's Christ among us. Christ inviting us to live with new life and reveal him to others. That's where we meet our Galilee. So let us pray that God will strengthen us and help us in that endeavor as we go forth proclaiming and also being witnesses. And then lastly, I want to share with you a story that also helps us think about Easter in a different way. It's about a Redemptorist priest who was elderly, and he was visited by one of his younger confreres. This older priest had a very distinguished record of being an incredible pastor, a mission preacher, truly one known for faith and wisdom. And he was found in his room at the care center by this younger priest, and it was time for lunch. The older priest needed help to get to the dining room, and so the young priest was helping the other priest to the second floor, to the elevator, because they needed to go down one floor to the lunchroom. When the younger priest pushed his friend, they began a conversation. The older priest asked a simple question, "Young man, do you know what day it is?" And of course, the younger priest responded and said, "Today is April the 5th. Not satisfied with the answer, the old priest again asked, "No, what day is it?" The second time, the young priest told the honorable priest, "It is Easter." Again, the older priest was not happy. He replied with great zeal, saying, "No, young man, today it's Resurrection Day. Remember that. It's Easter, but it's also Resurrection Day, a time to live with new life and to claim it." And so, my friends, as we celebrate this gift of Easter and Jesus the risen Lord, let us allow our faith and trust in God to assist us to honor not only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but to be grateful and praise the risen Lord and to seek him out as we live and strive and desire even new life, hope, joy, and peace. May we not only say Happy Easter, but happy Resurrection Day, and allow his light and his strength and his love to guide us to Galilee and most of all to the fullness of eternal life.